we've all heard the advice, just be yourself. So why do most of us spend our life trying to fit in and be like everybody else? Today we're talking about the fear that holds us back from letting our personality shine, leaning into who God made us to be, and embracing what makes us, us. It's a big one. And this is the start of season 3. Thanks for being here. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I'm excited to be here with you, and I have David with me today.
Hey, hey.
Anytime there's a holiday, I feel like you kind of get pulled into doing this, whether you want to or not. But it was Father's Day.
The youth pastor
this week
that gets to preach when everyone else is on vacation, including the senior pastor.
Sure.
But Sunday after Christmas.
You are a welcome guest host. I appreciate you. And it's going to be a pretty exciting week here on the Hill. First of all, this is the first episode of season 3.
Woohoo!
I don't even... That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That came up on my Facebook memories the other day that 2 years ago this week it dropped for the first time and people could download. And that's just... Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That went by really fast. Another exciting thing this week is I'm pretty sure there will be another little lady on the Hill at some point this week.
Yep.
So I think podcaster Sid is going to have her baby this mm-hmm. week, which is pretty exciting. We'll let you know in the next episode if she does. But
am I on that one too?
No, you okay. are not. You are off the hook for that one, my friend. So this is, we're continuing the I Want You to Be Happier series.
Just be happy.
Right? It's better than being sad.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy.
Oh my gosh.
Chase all your cares away.
I did say welcome guest host.
No, not you're wishing you could say unwelcome.
Okay. Now, today we're kind of talking about, I really struggled with what to call this episode. Like being yourself, being weird, being unique, embracing your quirkiness.
So you don't have any problem with what I just did then?
Sure. I mean, I guess that is really who you are. You have show tunes in your heart. But... I mean, like telling somebody to just be yourself is such common advice. It's kind of become trite,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's almost never, ever followed. I think I told one of our kids that this week and they rolled their eyes at me and looked like I had just said, you know, to dance about in a tutu at school. But in my notes, I put tell a teenager and they'll look like you suggested they wear a Big Bird costume to school. So pretty much the same thing. Like, what?
Can't be yourself.
Be myself. I've said the same thing to women my age, though, and they look confused because they don't know who they really are. It's such a foreign concept. Like, I don't even know. And I get that.
Because we've spent our whole lives conforming to everyone else around us.
That, and I think I talk about it later, but also for moms, sometimes we just lose our whole identity. It just goes into, well, I'm Hannah and Henry's mom. I'm Harry and Harper's mom, and I'm no longer Becky, that kind of thing. But we have to figure out who we are mm-hmm. pretty quick. It's 1/3 of our mission statement here on the podcast.
Which is?
Be the woman you were created to be. Oh. Or in your case, I'd rather you be the man you yeah. were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
Works out for our marriage better. As Oscar Wilde once said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
Who's Oscar Wilde?
A writer.
What did he write?
I don't know.
I was trying to remember.
And that, it seems obvious, right? Like that's cat poster. That's obvious. But I think many of us waste way too much of our life trying to be somebody else entirely. And I think we burn out trying to be the version of ourselves that we think will be the most pleasing to others, not necessarily the version of ourselves that aligns with who we were actually made to be. And that's a really big deal. I mean, I think that causes a ton of burnout and a ton of stress, just constantly trying to please and get approval and be who you think this certain group of ladies wants you to be.
That's he has a really, really long name, by the way. Did you know that? Oscar Wilde.
This is David embracing his quirks of looking up information.
It's Oscar.
I don't feel as pertinent.
Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde.
I guess he didn't embrace all of who he was, as he is not known by that.
Yeah. His notable works were The Picture of Dorian Gray, The Importance of Being Earnest.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Knowledge break.
Want people to be in the know.
Oh boy. So today we are talking about embracing our quirks, our differences, the talents and abilities God gave us, and becoming more comfortable with being unique.
Y-O-U, unique.
Oh my gosh. Oh, just to be clear and upfront, embracing who you are doesn't mean that you don't want to grow or improve.
Okay.
I'm actually like a pretty big advocate of people not doing that. It's not about like looking at your struggle with anger or your tendency to be judgmental and just going, oh, well, that's just who I am.
I'm just a jerk.
That's love me or leave me. Like, oh,
I have a temper. That's who I am.
Yes. It's also, this is something I've also been working with our kids. It's not just accepting whatever label a personality test has given you. Like, and I get, and I love person. I mean, we both like personality mm-hmm. tests, and they have some great,
I'm an investigator.
Uses. You know, Enneagram 3, but, you can look at that and you can know, okay, yes, I do have a tendency. My personality gives me a tendency to do this negative trait, but you don't have to adopt that as your identity. It just kind of maybe signals your flaws or your areas of growth. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm a whatever.
Little teapot.
Yes. I think when you're comfortable with who you are, you know that you're a work in progress. Like, you know you haven't arrived. You know your strengths and you try to use them. And you also know where you need to grow and what you need to work on. So just to be clear and upfront, when I say be who you are, I don't mean like I'm not super easygoing. Does that just have, I can embrace that or I can go, okay, this is something I need to work on and try to chill. All right. You ready for some definitions?
Mm-hmm.
You can dial back the smirk, sir. Okay.
I was just thinking about the easygoing comment and then me like over here making comments, throwing you off of your pace and your talk. So
yes, like, you have been very successful in that thus far. A real asset to this podcast this week. Okay, I kind of struggled with what to define because I wasn't really sure all along what I was going to call it. I just knew this was a topic we had to cover because I knew women are struggling and unhappy because they're trying to fit into this mold they don't fit into. But my definitions are a little scattered, but I'm cool with that.
Okay.
They're still here. The first, I'm defining the word weird. Okay. And the first one, I'm using the archaic definition because it made me happy and helped prove my point.
All right.
Okay. Okay, the archaic definition of weird was a person's destiny. I really liked that. Like, yeah, it's your destiny to be a little weirdo.
Like not normal.
I loved it. I just archaic. But the today version, the today definition is of strange or extraordinary character.
So that's more like the Portland version of weird as opposed to the destiny version of weird.
Yeah, but I mean like be your unipiper. Like, embrace it. A to Zen Life defined the authentic person as this.
A to Zen.
A to Zen. I told you, I am like the master of finding cool mm-hmm. websites. I really am. An authentic person is someone who is comfortable in their skin and doesn't feel the need to put on a front to fit in and be accepted by others. They know who they are and they don't hide it. I really mm-hmm. liked that a lot. The definition of blending in punched me in the gut. The guarantee of living small and inauthentic. Yeah.
Living small.
Living small.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts. The definition of being yourself, this is the last one I have today, is having the courage to understand that you have a particular set of characteristics. And no matter what you do, there will be a few things that will never be you. Which I really like. That's just kind of about like accepting your limitations.
Mm-hmm.
and owning what you do have.
Oh yeah, we've embraced a lot of things at this point in our lives, so some of them are probably just there for good. You might not even know what they are.
But I like that, just knowing that, yeah, there's going to be a few things that aren't you, and you need to become okay with that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fit into this box and be the girl that fits like all these other ladies over here, giggledy about tea parties. That's never going to be me.
Giggledy?
Yes, giggledy. You want some traits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, these are kind of traits of the person who is themselves. This is a big one. I think this is going to be my new Body and Brain Are Connected in season 3. Your Body and Brain Are Connected was my like catchphrase season 2. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear me say this all through season 3. It's my new thing. Understands their purpose. I'm going to be hitting this a lot this season. If you want to be yourself, you need to know what you're here for. The second is like it. I'm also going to be on my soapbox about this season. Follows their passions. This is a big one too. And I don't know if dudes struggle with this, but this is a big deal for ladies. Someone who is themselves makes choices based on what they actually like.
So instead of obligation.
Yeah. Or because Cindy likes it.
Yeah. There's some of that with guys. But I don't think it's as much of a driving.
Like, so in parentheses, I put, you know, even little things like food, music, what to wear, what hobbies you're going to participate in. I feel like so many women, we just pick things because that's what this little group does, whether it's something we're really interested in or not. And that's just silliness.
But people really just don't care and they just go along because that's what they enjoy.
I think that's different. I mean, this is when you're struggling. And I think, at least for me, I've made these choices sometimes to be accepted when it's a struggle. Maybe it's a girl thing. Doesn't chase approval. When we do chase approval, you're going to be less likely to speak up. You're less likely to share your point of view, less likely to be yourself because you're just wanting to be pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. This is not something very many people are great at. Doesn't mind if people disagree with them.
Yeah, we want people to think we're right, or we want to be right. We want people to think we're smart. We know what we're talking about.
Well, and not so much that too. It's just if you're struggling to fit in, if you want to go with the crowd and there's a difference of opinion, you might be more willing to waffle or to flip or to go. But this is like, I can be in a room full of the opposite group of voters and be fine and hold my ground and not feel swayed or less than. I can be okay.
Because your identity isn't determined on their acceptance of your point of view.
And like, you don't have to change who you are because you're the lone wolf in the room. That's a big one in today's culture. And the last two, kind to themselves and kind to others. If you're not kind to yourself and kind to other people, you're not really being you because you're just worried about.
Yeah, there's some kind of insecurity or something driving you to bring other people down or tear yourself down. And
yeah. You want to know how we got here?
Like in this room or...
How we got to this place where we're trying to be somebody we're not. Okay, now most of these are super similar today. They're just kind of nuanced slightly, but they mostly boil back to approval. So if you sense a theme out there, you're right. Now, if the girls were here, I'd be like, can you guess what I'm going to say first?
What?
People at home are going, it's fear. It's fear. I know it's fear. It is. Yes, we are super afraid. And I put the main fear I'm going for today is afraid of what other people think about us or how much people think about us, which is very little. If we're being honest.
Everyone's kind of thinking about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
People aren't sitting around their houses thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves and what you're thinking about them.
Yeah. No one cares. But I think the number one reason we try to blend in is just because we're terrified of what other people will think about us if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
If we're the one that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my goodness, they'll look at me. Okay, so this is a big one. We got here because of the boxes we're supposed to live in.
What are the boxes? Do you have a list?
I have some examples too. So society and culture, I think, have super narrow ideas about how different people are supposed to look, what they're supposed to like doing, the choices they're supposed to make. And I think that starts with really little kids, where like little boys have to, little girls can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my very favorite people are the ones who don't fit into boxes and like forget about the cliches. So I wrote down my honors American lit teacher was a 65-year-old man who knit religiously. Like, do you often think about old men knitting?
No.
You would think, oh, well, that's a sissy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Old men don't knit. But I loved that he was just, I mean, he was a terrible teacher. Told us he didn't care if we learned or not. But I liked that Mr. Webster was fine to just mm-hmm. sit and knit in class when he should have been teaching us novels. But I just, I hate that when they say like that little boys have to run around and play guns and like sports, and the little girls have to play with dollies and like,
mm-hmm.
who decided that? Or that, you know, pastors' wives have to want to throw tea parties.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be me, and that, you know, isn't going to be everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I have some really good, I already given you one cat poster for this episode, but I like.
Cat poster? Yeah, which one was the cat poster?
I don't like the Oscar Wilde quote. I mean, oh. That's pretty cheeseball. Cheese tastes good, but.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just because it's been around for a long time and you've overused it doesn't make it a cat poster.
Okay, well, this is cat poster.
All right.
Okay. Be yourself, not your idea of what you think somebody else's idea of yourself should be. I'm sorry, Thoreau, for saying you belong in a cat poster. But
that's not cat postery.
I don't know. It feels cheesy.
No, it's good. But it's good, just solid.
Be who you actually are, not what this little group or what culture thinks you have mm-hmm. to be because you're this person. It's just insane. We got here because we have been taught to believe that differences equals bad.
Yes, conformity is important.
You have to look and be like everybody else. Here's my question for you. Just because we have wondered on the panel before, like if men go through the stuff we go through. I'm guessing you don't, but maybe you do. So when you notice trends, I'm guessing guys don't care about trends at all. But when you notice trends or group opinions that you're not a part of, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, there are definitely guys that care about trends because you can see it in the way they dress. Mm. Like some of our friends over the years, I can think back on who've really massively changed their appearance like every
year couple of years. Or two
because society said this was now what's popular. But do we care? What's the question?
Just when you notice trends or group opinions that you're not a part of, how do you feel?
Well, me particularly, I don't really feel like there's any pull at all to try to fit into any kind of specific trend. That must be really nice,
because I think just for women, it's uncomfortable. Like sometimes when you're in, it's less so now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 20-year-old Becky and in her 40s Becky are different people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is a thing when you go into a room and you know everyone else in that room thinks a certain way and you're this outlier over here. And it used to make me panic and sweat and be like, oh, my goodness, what is wrong with me? Now it's like, yeah, OK, do your thing. I'm good over here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can feel like, and it has felt for me in my life, I put like playing a real life game of what doesn't belong here, like on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
one of these things is not like the others. Other.
Yeah. One of these things just doesn't belong. That's like the second line of that song. I watched a clip of it on YouTube. One of these things just doesn't belong. And I think every woman has felt, every teenager too, has probably felt mm-hmm. that. Like, oh my.
Well, I don't know that I feel like I belong.
Mm.
I, I think most of my life I've been pretty much not belonging with, you know, the majority of people.
So it does affect.
Yeah, it just doesn't drive me to want to try to change who I am to try to fit in, but I do feel it.
Yeah. It really used to bother me a lot. It used to bother me a lot. Especially in ways where I knew I was just never going to fit. Like when I would notice women all dressed a certain way, or, you know, it might be in here later on the field trip with Henry, where like all the other moms at the pumpkin patch were wearing like the $100 Hunter boots, and I had my messed up Adidas. It's like, but then, I mean, it pulls you out of your moments though. Instead of like enjoying watching my son climb on the hay pyramid, it was like, what is wrong with me? Why didn't I know I had to spend money we don't have on boots we can't afford? I'm not good enough because I have Adidas on. It was a thing.
Status is really important to the brain for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, but it can be with other stuff too. I mean, you just political opinions, religious opinions. It's weird to be in a room and be the only one.
Yeah. But anything where we feel like we're not measuring up to what everyone else is doing, we're below the status line. We're out of place.
So I think we just need to retrain our brain that different isn't bad. Different is actually evidence that you are living authentically, that you are being who you are made to be. And it's okay to not look like, think like everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly fine. Okay, this one I put, we're here because we're scared of being noticed. For some people, they want to blend in because they don't want any attention. They want no eyes on them. Please let me be wallpaper. I just want to fade into the background. Aristotle said, the only way to avoid criticism is to say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. And so I think because we're so afraid of what people think, they just don't want to draw any attention at all. So I'm not going to be who I actually am. Because then you'll notice me, and then maybe you'll have something to pick on me about. You know, and I think I brought this one up because, you know, I hope some teenagers listen. And I remember feeling that like that in high school, that there was with certain groups, my whole goal was that they just didn't know that I was just nothing to them, that I didn't.
You weren't on their radar.
They didn't necessarily like me, but they didn't dislike me. I was just like, oh, maybe that quiet girl in the hall. But we got to grow out of that. We have to grow out of that. And we can't be like that in high school either. Like, let them know who you are. You're cool. Do you hear me, Hannah and Henry? Okay. We want to be liked. You know, maybe people will like us more if we're more like them. But then they're not liking you. We're going to get there. Comparison. All I wrote down under that is, do men do this?
Comparison?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's...
in certain areas.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same thing that you're comparing yourself over.
Probably not.
No.
How their kids behave in public, how their hair looks.
No, I mean, it's probably salaries and hobbies and toys and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, sometimes mine are just like, how is her back seat that clean? Why does her hair look that nice at 7 a.m? Why? How? I do not know. Okay, here's the big one. I'm gonna hit this over and over. We got here where you're not living authentically. You're not being yourself because you don't know your passions and your purpose. If that feels too big for you, because I've asked women that I love and care about that question recently, and they've stared at me blankly. They don't have an answer. So if that feels too big where you're like, I have no idea what my passion is, Becky, what my purpose is, like, I don't know how to answer that, then answer these questions. Think about, what do you care about? What lights you up? Who do you look up to? This was an article that I didn't source it, but they asked you to like think about who are the people that you look up to, who's inspiring to you, and then kind of connect the dots about what do all those people have in common. And maybe that can help point you towards that. You know, it's really hard to be yourself when you don't know yourself. And this stumps way more women than you'd think. So I really encourage you to think about that. I think that's going to be a series later this year. I just don't want to mess it up. So I want to think about it longer.
What do you love?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And your interests and your passions and your talents are not an accident. Like, the threads weave together, and it's really cool when you stop and think about it. So I think I will guide people through this later this year.
And the purpose thing, what breaks your heart? That's a good question.
Mm. You ready for truths you need to hear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It works out better when you do what you do. Now, here is my example. I have a couple examples for this one where I have tried to go off course before and be something that I'm not, and it just fails miserably. Mm-hmm. Okay. The first one is me and chocolate chip cookies.
You make good chocolate chip cookies.
I make amazing chocolate chip cookies. It's like I've used that as an example when people like talk about being musical. I'm like, some people sing, I make good cookies. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my talent. And I do. I make excellent chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. How many times have I gone off recipe and tried a new one? Because Pinterest says, best ever cookie, world's greatest chocolate. Are they ever as good?
Mm-mm.
No, they're never, ever as good as the recipe that I know, that I've honed. It's better when you do what you do well, instead of going, oh, well, maybe this other person is doing it better than I am. I think I should go down her path and try this avenue she's been taking. Well, that's her path. Those are mm-hmm. her cookies. That tastes best for her family. This tastes best for mine.
Mm-hmm.
My other example I wrote down is homeschool. Now, when David first mentioned, like, maybe you should think about homeschooling, this was back, like, blogs weren't as huge of a deal. And I knew of one homeschool blogger. And I was so discouraged after looking and thinking, okay, well, she's really big and she has this big following and she knows what she's doing. So clearly I need to homeschool the way she's homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And I looked into her method, and it was just so devastating because I knew. First, I didn't think the way she homeschooled was best practice, and I knew that it was just not in line with my personality. It wouldn't work for my kids, mm-hmm. and I was stressing so much, going, I cannot homeschool the way this lady homeschools, but she is the best, and she has a million followers. I have to do this way. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wear the shoes that you were meant to wear
mm-hmm.
and do what works for you and your family and your kids. Like, if what you're doing is working for you, trust it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop looking at somebody else's path. What is she doing? Well, she's doing what works for her. Do what works for you. But you're going to be frustrated and unhappy and not get as good of results if you're trying to wear somebody else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blog post about that over on my Chasing Supermom if you want to go look at it. But I talked, you know, like, if I tried to walk a mile wearing your size 13s, like, that'd be real terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Or tried to squeeze my feet into Harper's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wear my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Feeling some passion today.
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay. Got the past turn me going. Here we go. A life centered around image management is not a life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just trying to do it for other people, like, then your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to that lady you probably don't even know. Do you even like her? Why do you care?
Yeah, it's all the frills and all the stuff that go kind of on the outside of it, but nothing on the inside.
Just, it's not a life.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a life. And you're not going to be happy because you're not wearing your own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing the stuff that matters to you or that you were called to do. You're just, oh, this lady really likes soccer, so I'm going to do soccer. Meanwhile, you're dying inside because you don't like watching your kid play soccer. Okay. Here's one that's a big deal. Sometimes when you try to blend in and fake who you are to make other people happy, sometimes it will work. And people will start believing that you're this other version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, and it blows, and it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that leads me to my next one, but I put here too, one of my favorite quotes of all time from Aldous Huxley is, round pegs and square holes tend to have dangerous thoughts. And so when you're living this life, like, other people believe. And then you later decide, when you're like, I cannot keep this up anymore. I can't be this person because I'm not this person. And then you decide to set the boundaries. they get mad and leave you mm-hmm. because you've changed, even though you're really being who you were, but you're different than the person they came to mm-hmm. expect you to be. It's not fun.
Right.
It's not fun. And that's my, you need boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You flat out need boundaries. Listen to that episode. None of us are great at doing it, but mm-hmm. we'll all tell you, you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This is a truth you need to hear. Oh, I want all my young people out there to hear this. If you're yourself and they don't like you, they are not for you.
And high school is fleeting.
That is so true.
So it's not, it feels like eternity when you're in it, but if they don't like you right now, there's a whole lot of life after high school mm-hmm. where you'll find people yeah. that like you for who you are.
And here, all the people don't have to be your people.
Mm-hmm.
All of the people won't be your people. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that more in an episode in our next series. But not everybody's going to click with your personality or find your quirks endearing or tolerable. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because mm-hmm. you don't like everyone either.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I learned this sooner. I wish I learned that not everybody's going to like me.
Right.
Sooner. And I wish I had become okay with it sooner. I wish I was okay with it now.
I knew it a long time ago. It bothered me, but I knew for most of my life that people weren't going to like me. So
it's a tough one to grapple mm-hmm. with. It really is. But you just have to know if you are who you are and they don't like you, they're not for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try to force it. They're not for you. You'll mm-hmm. find your people. Some people, this is a harsh truth, Becky. Wow. Some people won't like the fake you either. So you might as well just be yourself. Yeah, you can't please everybody. They don't care as much as you think they do anyway. We kind of hit on that anyway. Nobody mm-hmm. really does. The last one, I'm saying this for Sid, your insecurities are showing. The places where we feel ourselves longing to fit in or be more like everybody else, I think they reveal where we're the most insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where in my notes I put the thing about on that field trip with Henry
mm-hmm.
because that was appearance based and am I good enough? Maybe the good moms all wear the boots. And then I put the example
too. They're appearancists.
Yes. Well, no, just that they know to have the nice fancy boots and that makes them better than the casual mom. Or the time we went on that mini date to the little outdoor bazaar and all the ladies had on like infinity scarves and those little hats and like
we did.
Yeah.
And where was this?
I don't know. At that like abandoned building that Sydney had Nash's birthday.
Oh, abandoned building.
I don't know, condemned building. Anyway, it's a Grange. It's not yeah. like a warehouse in the middle of the meatpacking district. Anyway, but they were all like in like the black leggings and those little straw hat. I would never wear that outfit. But it made me feel so insecure because it was like, oh my goodness, here I am once again in my little graphic sweatshirt and jeans. And I had felt good. I was on a date with my husband. I had been having fun until I saw that every other woman looked like an Instagram influencer. And oh my goodness, that just revealed like, okay, I must be insecure about the way I look.
It really seared it into my memory. It's really... key moment in our relationship.
You have no knowledge of this.
I remember the bazaar vaguely, but
not my epic meltdown after.
Not really,
about
no.
I'm ugly trash because I don't have a straw hat and I don't know how to tie scarves. Mm-mm. I can watch a YouTube tutorial and I can't even make a circle. Like, it's just, that's not, what did I say at the beginning? Some things will never be you. Cute scarf wearer.
What do you mean you can't make a circle?
I can't. I'm bad at scarves. So I've accepted it. It's me.
Like you can't coil something up in a circle.
Hush your mouth.
Can't wrap something around your neck.
I'm going to give you some tips now. These are not for David. He's being obnoxious. These are for you at home. Okay. Unfollow or hide social media accounts mm-hmm. that make you feel badly about yourself or that trigger you to compare.
Or that are even just irrelevant. Because, like, I've been I mean, I've unfollowed a lot of people over the years, but then, you know, just recently I'd, you know, just see something that maybe had to do with being a worship pastor, mm-hmm. which was a long, long time ago. And it still will just kind of create a little bit of a, oh, I should do that. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'm like, well, that. why am I even following this person? It's not really even part of my mm-hmm. trajectory at the moment. So I just unfollow.
For me, if it was something about like raising babies or mm-hmm. 2-year-olds, and then it could even trigger like, oh, wow, that is not how I parented at all. Maybe I should have done it differently. And now you're living in a guilt spiral. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just you don't need to follow the Instagram accounts of the lady. Like, you know, for example, I shouldn't follow people wearing cool scarves. Maybe that would trigger right. something in me.
Well, we can only handle, our minds can only handle relationships with about 130 people total. Mm. And so like when you're following 1,000 people, your brain just doesn't have the capacity to try to keep up with all that. So then you just find yourself probably
fixating,
you know, trying, well, just bouncing from identity to identity based on whichever one the algorithm is showing you that week.
Mm. Okay. Number 2 tip, stop staging fake pics.
Oh,
This is going to help other women be themselves and help you accept that you are not one of those fake influencers on Instagram, that you don't always wear coral and your house is never a mess. Like, stop scooting the stuff out of the way. Stop running to the bathroom to fix your hair. Stop making your child go comb their hair to take their picture. And he is looking at me just knowing he's going to hold me accountable for this. Stop staging fake pics. You're a real person. You live in your house. Your kids are actual real human beings that get messy and dirty and don't always look cute. And people understand that because they also have a real house and live with real people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Wear what you like to wear. Eat what you like to eat. Like what you like. Sounds simple, but lots of ladies don't mm-hmm. do it.
I don't like onions.
You have made that abundantly clear. Mm-hmm. But we were sitting at dinner a few weeks ago with Jolene and her husband and Sid and her husband, and they were all just talking about sushi for like 10 minutes. And I was really proud because we held our ground. We're like, nope, that's disgusting. Like, good for you. Like, eat it. Do what you want to do. No, mm-hmm. thank you. 20-year-old Becky might not have been that confident. 40-year-old Becky's like, yeah, nasty. But I mean, where would you want to wear? Like, put on clothes. This is probably not a big deal for men at all, but like, wear what you like. Who cares if it's on trend? Like, I've read all the little articles by the 19-year-old BuzzFeed editors that say you can't wear skinny jeans or part your hair down the side anymore. You know what? I'm going to keep doing both those things because they make me happy.
Or maybe it's not even just wear what you want to wear. It's just wear what you own. Who cares?
As long as you're not naked.
Right.
Yeah. You know, eat what you want, wear what you want, like what you want. You don't mm-hmm. have to like the hobbies of all your friends. And it's cool if your friend doesn't like all the stuff you like.
That's like, I've never liked video games. And yeah. basically every guy,
and I am grateful,
loves video games. And there's been lots of times where I feel on the outside because I don't know,
and they're all talking anything. About whatever, and you're like,
and especially now with students and they're talking about these games, and like I was having a conversation saying, you know, I literally know nothing about any video games, and they just started going, well, but you know, and just listing these games, like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they just went down this rabbit, you know, this rabbit mm-hmm. hole. It's like, I did not understand anything that you just said. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, that's sad. Like, not really for me.
Like, I'm good.
I haven't spent many, many years of my life in yeah. front of a game console. So,
but I mean, you don't have to rearrange your family. I know some people that will probably would, you know, someone was telling me the other day, they felt pressured to put their kids into sports because that's where all their friends are. They're sitting on the bleachers mm-hmm. for 3-4 months at a time, but she didn't want to do it. It didn't work for her. Like, mm-hmm. well, then don't.
Yeah, we never did.
We never did. Didn't work for us either. So just do what you want to do. And if you have a friend that, you know, I've talked about this before, a friend that got super mad at me and made fun of me because I didn't want to do archery on horseback. Like, you do that. I don't need to do that. Like, who cares? Let your friends like what they like. You know, Sid can have her tea party.
Mm-hmm.
Jolene can eat her sushi. Like, cool on them.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal likes weeding. You know, will I understand that? No, but I like that she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean we think less of them for liking those things.
Like, yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean our relationship is different between the two of us because they like something we don't like and vice versa.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm sure there's stuff like, yeah, David and Becky, are they liked it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We still get along. Get to know yourself. Told you I'm going to harp on it over and over. Figure out what you're passionate about. You have to.
And that's where those tests do help.
They do.
Because a lot of people don't really know themselves. And taking some of those personality tests and strength tests actually start to help you get a framework for thinking about who you are.
That's true. I actually Googled, how do you define yourself? And the very first thing that popped up is, I am passionate about blank.
Mm-hmm.
Other ways they phrased it were, I'm a person who really cares about blah, who gets excited about this, who lights up at the thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
So start thinking about it. Set aside, this is the time you get out your journal and you go back and you re-listen and you jot those things down and actually give it some thought. Find your passion.
Well, and find, like, pay attention to your emotions, and when, you know, when there are events and you react strongly to an event or a news story or somebody, you know, piece of information, and you find yourself being really passionate about it, write that down.
Or what you're super good at,
mm-hmm.
what you're really interested in, where you lose track of time when you're in the flow, like when time just disappears mm-hmm. for you, all of that. The last tip is, don't judge yourself or beat yourself up over things that are not flaws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I've talked about this on here too, where I've, you know, people told me introversion was a flaw so many times that I just needed to fix or I'd grow out of it. I sent our daughter a reel this week about, like, if people talk to extroverts the way they talk to introverts. It was really funny. Like, have you always been this social? You'll grow. Maybe you consider staying home. But just, it's not a flaw. Being extroverted is not a flaw. Being introverted is not a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Being laughing in public is not a flaw. These things are not flaws.
So laughing in public? Do people not laugh in public?
It always riles me a little bit because it's not me, and I would never do it to draw attention to myself, but I'm having to train myself not to judge other people who have the loud, booming laugh in public.
So you just won't laugh in public even if something makes you laugh?
I don't know. I've been taught to be real quiet. Like, life is a big library. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if it's not a flaw, don't beat yourself up. All right, you ready for my real?
Mm-hmm.
I always don't like doing this in front of you.
You want me to turn around?
No, that'd be really awkward. Only if on Sunday, when you give your next sermon, I can face the wall.
Uh-huh.
You'll be okay with that?
Yep.
Okay, that wouldn't be weird at all. Okay. As I was studying, I found out that depending on which scientist you trust, so the numbers just, but they were all in the ballpark, okay? There are between 100,000 to 400,000 different species of beetles. Okay. Whatever way you slice it, you want to go the high end, the low end, that's a lot of beetles.
I would have never guessed.
Right? Okay. There are 20,000 different kinds of ferns. Ferns.
Mm.
Side note, if you want some laughs, go watch Between Two Ferns on YouTube. It's really funny. Okay. There are 7,500 types of apples. 6,000 species of frogs.
Mm.
Okay. Now, why is Becky quoting weird nature mm-hmm. facts at us? Now, this is cat postery of me, but I don't care. You're not here. It's safe to say I think God likes variety.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mess up making you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there can be 20,000 kinds of ferns, like, you can be weird and unique, and God didn't make a mistake.
God don't make junk.
That's, oh my God. That takes me back to middle school. Like, we had a whole campaign about God mm-hmm. don't make no junk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, first, you're here on purpose for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite pastors told me that.
That's not my quote, but I.
But you said it.
I've said it a lot.
You're here on purpose for a purpose. And when you're trying to blend in, not be seen, and live like everyone else, not only are you suffering because you're trying to fit into a hole that wasn't made for you, but the world hurts. Because even when we don't feel like it's the truth, there are people who need the person we are, who need the thing that only we can give them,
mm-hmm.
who are only going to connect with us, who need the light and the love and the words of encouragement that we have to give, who need to hear our story. Natalie Bright said, "You being you is medicine for others around you. You embracing your authentic, messy, imperfect parts of self helps others embrace those parts in themselves too."
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from many, many women say that they feel like their personality is a mistake, that they laugh too loud. Maybe that's where I got that from. That they laugh too loud or too much. They're quiet. That they sing in public. They break into song. That they're too vulnerable and they cry too much. That they're straightforward. That they're confident. That they're more serious than other people. Holla. Anything that sets them apart from the masses makes them feel badly instead of special and amazing and the exact light that somebody else needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of those things, yes, they might be different than your friends or different than the ladies on the soccer field or in the pickup line, but that doesn't make you wrong or bad. It means, oh, you're the exact person that somebody else needs. Someone's going to connect to that lady laughing. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I wonder what she's so happy about. Why does she have joy? Someone needs the super serious person like me who can buckle down and write these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody needs the really quiet person because they're not drawn to the big charismatic. They need the softer touch.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Mr. Rogers.
Exactly. Oh, that's a good episode too. You should go back and listen mm-hmm. to that one. Those quirks and those gifts and those talents and interests and passions and abilities that make you feel uncomfortable and shy and awkward because nobody else is into those things or works that way or has a ready-made ministry that you fit into, those aren't an accident either.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lean in and you have to put your talents to work and stop burying them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I referenced that parable a couple weeks ago. I'm going to reference again next week. But you need to be the woman you were created to be. It doesn't matter that nobody else is doing the thing that you really care about. Or like I said, that there may not be a ministry at your church or wherever you are that makes it easy for you to plug right in. That doesn't mean you shouldn't
mm-hmm.
or bring it up or try or find a way to use the unique talent you have. And it's hard, and I get that it's hard because we all want to be liked and accepted, and we chase approval. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Another version of this verse called the fear of man a trap. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
Conforming yourself to a box you don't fit into is never going to produce the life you want or that God has for you. And it's a trap because it keeps you stuck. And it's disabling because it keeps you from doing the work you were created to do. Like, trust your creator. I put, like, he made the oceans and the redwoods and Jupiter and you. Like, the same person who made those big, amazing things made you. He did not mess up.
Mm-hmm.
He did not mess up. I'm going to close with this. LoveHopeCity.com said this. God created our personalities and wired each of us in certain ways to bless the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you to go bless it by mm-hmm. being you.
Yeah, be a blessing.
Yep. By being exactly who you are. Oh, that is a very Mr. Rogers way to end. Oh, there's only one in this wonderful world. You mm-hmm. are special. Ah, I love that. Thanks for bringing him into it. All right. Thank you for being here on this one. Next week, Crystal and I, and possibly Jolene, depending on where she's at with her baby mm-hmm. bump, are going to be closing out the I Want You to Be Happier series. So that's exciting. And thanks for being here for 2 whole years going into our third. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's pretty cool. Thanks awesome. For being here. We love you. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week. Go be weird.
You've been listening to the Girl in a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you
as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.